Welcome to Cloudlandia,
Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Jackson, I've been eager. I've been waiting. I've been really looking forward to
it. Me too. Look at us. We're both we're both early. That's funny. I love it. Well, welcome to Cloudlandia.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that we're starting to see since the beginning of COVID last, which I consider a major historical inflection point. You can call it an inflection point. That's a technology world where all of a sudden a large number of people adapt a new capability. Yep.
I agree. And it wouldn't have
happened. And importantly, and what I would say, adventuresome, experimental, innovative
well,
people.
Certainly, everybody did that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, I think it's condensed probably 5 years on the regular adoption rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in our case, I'm telling the team it's 10 years. Maybe in the 2030s we would have introduced a virtual program. Mm-hmm. But I said unless there was some overriding urgency or necessity to do it, it would happen gradually and. You know, it would take hold and it would grow and everything else. But here, it had to accelerate very, very quickly.
It's funny now. I've been having some conversations, like with different people. You know, I meet all kinds of people come into my events and things, and inevitably we talk about strategic coach and the impact, you know, of being in that environment and. I've had just in the last 30 days, three or four conversations with people who are now considering being part of Strategic Coach because they can do it virtually, mm-hmm. as opposed to where we could only do it by being
traveling.
In person.
Yeah. Yeah. Traveling. And that, and we know because, we have very, very good, contact records. So if the first time there's a contact between someone interested, you know, or it's a referral that we actually do the communication. In other words, it's on our part. There's a record kept of all these the people who do it, the sales mm-hmm. team. They have to keep a record and say, you know, what progress was made in this communication, you know, and what have we found out about this person? And the moment that we introduced the, what we call the global virtual, I'm not quite sure.
right.
That's above my security clearance to know the exact wording. In the company, the call record in some cases goes back 5 or 6 years where mm-hmm. they've been interested, something that they would do, but travel, you know, actual physical travel was the barrier that they couldn't get over to actually sign up, and that was eliminated. So we're up to, right now, we're up to about 470 since last September who have joined. You know,
awesome.
Their check has cleared. As
so
they say.
Exciting. I love it. Yeah.
And the thing is that we talk to them right away. Like I will do a Zoom call with people who have signed up, haven't done their first workshop, or they're between their first workshop and their second workshop, which is only a 2 month. There's only 2 months between workshops and the virtual global. So they get 6 workshops a year. And then they get six connectors between those. So literally every month, we're providing something.
Going on.
Yeah, and I can only do that because it's virtual. I might have had a wish to do that before, but there was just no possibility of doing it. Yeah. So just think about the two things. That the biggest barrier to joining has been removed, and mm-hmm. we start communicating with them very, very early and frequently. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yes. those are big things.
I love it. And all from your comfy home environment.
Yes. The dogwoods are out. My golly, the dogwoods are great this year. So
amazing.
Yeah. So yeah. We didn't know how great they were, but they're great.
They're great. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what though, I'm starting to I am having Toronto withdrawals. This will be
a long time.
Second summer
two years.
Yeah.
You haven't been to Toronto in
I think the last time I was in Toronto would have been in August of or September of 2019. That's the last. I hate to go two full years.
Yeah, like you know, the whole country of Canada is like kind of groundhogs. You know, we're kind of like groundhogs, and we came out, sun was shining, we saw our shadow, we went back in. And, you know, and the U.S. is wide open. I mean, for the most part, the U.S. is wide open.
Yeah.
The Canadians are kind of inching out, you know. And anyway, so I do have my, you know, I told you last time I got my second shot. And so
I'm fully immunized.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. No problem going to the States, coming back. I still get quarantined. Yeah.
Now, I just saw a headline about Bruce Springsteen in Toronto that he could only get, there were certain, if you had the AstraZeneca vaccine, you weren't allowed in to his show. You had to be fully vaccinated with the others. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the people who are in control are eking it out, you know, like, yeah, we have control of you, and we'll give you 10% back. But, you know, so they're creating all sorts of rules on the run just to to maintain. I mean, it's a bit of a bureaucratic kingdom, you know, Canada. I mean, it's kind of a function, I think, of how the two countries were, you know, if you think about the pioneering period of going from east to west, both countries went east to west, United States mm-hmm. and Canada. But the U.S. mainly did it. They would open a territory and say, you know, if you hurry up, you can go out and you can claim a piece of territory. And, you know, on a certain day, we're going to lift the gates and you can all run out there and see what you can get. And then you get it, you have to register it with somebody, you know, mm-hmm. local authority, minimal authority. Whereas Canada, if you look at the history, it was institutional pioneering because three institutions went before there were a lot of people. One was the Hudson's Bay Company, which mm-hmm. was a crown. It was a crown company, sort of like the East India Company or something like that. And it was granted by the, you know, it was granted by the monarchy in England, and then granted by, you know, Parliament, I guess. And so the Hudson's Bay went out, and it was a trading company, so they traded with the Indian and other. What are called indigenous people, Eskimos, and everything else. So they established forts and, you know, and little trading towns and everything else. And then the next one that we went out were probably the Anglican Church. It was probably because that was sort of the state religion. They went out and they established churches and everything else. And I think the third one, because the first two were having trouble, were the Mounties, the RCMP. They went out. So you had this big institutional push, and then a place would be deemed safe, and, you know, it had religion, it had, you know, it had a general store, and it had a police.
Suitable for habitation. Yeah, right. Come on out.
Yeah.
On out.
And,
Also,
yeah, and then people would gradually
first.
And then the fourth one was the railroad. They put the railroad through all the way to Vancouver, and that was to really keep the Americans, you know, kind of not from taking over British Columbia and going right up the coast. So,
do you know what I read about the? I read about the Oklahoma Sooners. Why they they're called Sooners? Because what you said. They had the date that they were going
to get fire there the soon.
Gun. Yeah, fire the gun, and you could go and claim your stake your claim. But there were people who had gone and, you know, crossed the line already, hidden in the valleys or bushes or whatever, waiting. And then they jumped out and took their claim.
They got there
that's
sooner.
Interesting. Yeah, they got there sooner. The best places, you know.
That's funny. That's probably a major description of America in general, you know.
Yeah.
Sooner. Yeah. So
sooner. Get there sooner.
Yeah. And the other thing is cold up here, you know, it's just a lot colder than, you know, the experience of temperature, and, you know, I mean, here in Toronto, half the year is winter, and, and that makes a big difference on how fast things can happen. And, so, I mean, you talked about your summer visits. You don't talk about your winter visits.
That's the truth. I told you when you started the U times 10 program it was back then.
Yeah.
When you started that first group, was that 2009 that started, or
somewhere back then? Yeah.
So 2009, I think. And so I told you then I was 9 years into a snow-free millennium, but I was willing to risk it. I was willing to risk that.
Yeah.
2 days a year to be with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Your commitment was noted. Your commitment and courage were noted.
That's commitment and courage. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's, it's been a wonderful, this is just, it already has the makings of one of the best summers ever. You know, I mean, we've already had about 5 weeks of, you know, we're just, you know, little ways through June, and we've already had about 5 weeks of really gorgeous weather. Yes. Everything's out, but but the government is sort of frozen.
Right. Well, I'm pushing our my boundaries here. I mean, this is so Monday starts the first live Breakthrough Blueprint that I've done in 18 months.
And they're coming to you.
They're coming to Celebration. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it at Celebration Hotel, where it all started. The very first one was.
Well, you'll have great stories to tell when we do our podcast next time, because this is almost like you've gone into the past.
Visiting
the past.
So we'll see real people.
Yeah.
And then I've got, you know who's coming is our friend Norman Dunnigan is going to be there.
Who?
So that'll be Norman Dunnigan.
Oh, yeah.
From South Carolina. Yeah, he's going to be there. So that'll be fun. And then the week after that, next weekend, I told you I have not been more than 90 minutes by car away from my house. In that 15 months, and now I'm about to push that to, you know, 2 hours and 30 minutes, because we're going down to, we're going to go to the Four Seasons at Palm Beach for a week, just to chill and have some nice beach time. So
yeah,
that'll be.
I've been there for a couple of nights. You know, probably back in the 90s or something like that. I remember I was We were in Palm Beach, and I said, let's say the Four Seasons. We went over and looked at the Breakers, but it's a little antiquated for Babs.
It is. The Breakers is a good place to go. Eb and Pagan and I go there to have tea. Yeah, they serve high tea in the Breakers. Yeah. And that, you can imagine. I remember sitting, the first time Eb and I went there, we sat in the, kind of beautiful, big, open room. You can, the whole place is, you could just imagine it in, I imagine would have been the early 1900s.
20s, right? early
the 20s. Yeah. Just, and they have,
yeah,
changed.
I think,
grandiosity.
I think originally it was one of the Flagler hotels.
That's exactly
Flagler,
right.
With the railroad. He put
with
the
train. Yeah.
Yeah. With the trains. And, yeah.
And we sat there and, we would have tea and, they bring all the little tray with the sandwiches and the cookies and the sophisticated cookies at the Breakers with little sandwiches with breath and real high tea. And we just sit there for hours. And that was where I remember declaring to Eben that we decided that there couldn't be many things better than if you could be a business philosopher. That would be the that's what we started talking about, is being
I kind of resonate with that, I mean I'm thinking about your thinking is kind of a form of philosophy, I think
it is.
And it was really remarkable. You talked about Flagler, but it was interesting, the history of Ohio, that Flagler grew up about 20 miles from where I grew up. Edison grew up 2 miles from where I did. Rockefeller grew up 60 miles from where I grew up.
In the water there. Like, let me check the
It's interesting. Over about a 70-year period, seven U.S. presidents came from Ohio. Ohio was the real California of its day. It was the Western push. And but Ohio established itself right away because it's got great water access with the, it's got the lake on the, one of the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
on the top, and then it's got the Ohio River that goes underneath it. So you had this terrific waterway, and it's fairly flat. There isn't much.
Yeah.
There's not much, and it's mostly land there. There's not much. It's really great farmland and everything. Uh-huh. And so it was easy to settle. It was agriculturally very prosperous, and transportation was really good. So that's and so the Wright brothers came from Dayton, Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, exactly.
So you had a lot of pioneers and inventors and innovators from that area. And it's a big state. I mean, I think it's like number six size wise out of the 50. Mm-hmm. But it's got a little bit of everything. It's kind of got almost everything. It's agricultural, it's industrial, it's high tech, huge medical. Cleveland Clinic is one of the really big medical systems in the country. And you grow up there, it's a little bit of everything.
That's interesting. I mean, because that back then, I guess that was, you looked at like Cleveland and those kind of places, so St. Louis, those were all like, they were really
booming,
settled city. Booming. Yeah, exactly. I remember there's booming, something about Cyrus McCormick is somehow, there's something about Ohio with Cyrus. I don't think he was born there, but I think the early things they did with the Reaper were in Ohio. When I did my Project Cyrus program, we hid our training program behind these front sites that were where the people had to go to get the authorized dealer training. So we set up these websites. We had set up Dayton Tractor Company and Toledo Tractor Company. And
yeah.
When you'd go there, it was the reason I did it, I read about or saw there's a company in California called Secret Weapon Marketing. And they were over in Santa Monica. And they had a front, a storefront of their office that was the Kowloon Wholesale Seafood Company. Mm-hmm. And so you would go into the Kowloon Wholesale Seafood Company and they'd have a chalkboard with the market prices and the counter, and then they'd have a beaded curtain to walk into. And then when you're behind the beaded curtain, you have to push this button and the doors open and you're into the
inner sanctum.
The inner sanctum of Secret Weapon Marketing.
Yeah.
Hiding behind the Kowloon Wholesale Seafood Company. And I thought that was so funny, if I could ever do anything like that.
Now all these secret rooms are virtual rooms right now.
That's exactly right.
They're not physical rooms.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I was talking to Mark Goodman, the cyber cop that goes to Genius Network. It appears, and I was asking him about the dark web. The dark web. There's the web, and then there's the dark web. So there's kind of the legal web that people are used to. And I said, bigger or smaller dark web? And he says, dark web's about 10 times bigger than the actual web.
Oh, wow.
He said, you can't believe the stuff that goes on. And this is illegal,
Yeah.
Some of it is, maniacal and insane I would say the actual web relates most to people's conscious part of their brain, and the dark web is everybody's unconscious. It's a place where things relate to people's worst nightmares. It's a very fruitful topic. It's a very fruitful topic for intrigue and murder homicide homicide novels and everything like that.
Yeah, right. But wow, I didn't realize that was the thing.
Yeah, and I said, "Well, is this dangerous for normal people?" He said, "No." He said, "Because you wouldn't have any interest that would bring you in contact with it."
Oh, I gotcha. But how, if it's bigger, then that seems crazy to me that there are either more people with bigger, weird appetites, I guess.
Yeah, think of all the different kinds of crimes there are. Well, where do those people feel safe to communicate with each other? People who are interested in that, I was looking at, first of all, almost all drug merchandising until recently was on the dark web. Marijuana in North America, if you're just selling marijuana, which was illegal until 10 years ago, it was illegal, everywhere. And so how do you set up, how do the wholesalers work? How does product get delivered? How do people, order, and it's an interesting thing. And then I was looking at slavery, that they estimate right now in the world, if you take everybody into account, there's still probably about 50 to 60 million people who are in slavery.
You know, wow.
They are owned by other people. Mm. Their time is entirely controlled by other people, and you know, it's not employment. They can't leave and everything else. Well, where did the deals get done? Dark web.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's something. Well, the good thing that Cloudlandia is a bright and shiny place. Safe for
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Welcome yeah. to all. Yes.
Yeah.
Opportunity yeah. for all.
Yeah, but it just shows you that anything can be good or bad depending upon the person using it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
true.
So, bad people do bad things with new tools.
Yes. So a couple of weeks ago, I don't know whether I mentioned this to you, I signed up on my news feed and I've been seeing these ads for a website called Commit Action. And essentially what they are is accountability on demand kind of thing. And so they have a neat program that I have been doing now. This will be my third week. And it's essentially, I talk to somebody one time a week and I lay out, this is the things that I'm going to do. And when I'm good, we put them on the calendar in the platform that they have. And then I just do them. And it's really interesting. It's like this, there's nothing magic about it. We're not strategizing. We're not doing anything like that. I'm thinking about my thinking. I know what the next steps are for me on projects. And I bring that, you know, what are the three things that we're going to do? And I put them on the calendar. And I've been amazed with how that little bit of external accountability raises the intention, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Raises the outcome for me that I've
so,
been able
to. Do they have a reminder thing that
yeah.
goes along with it?
They do. Uh-huh. So they, an encouragement, like reminding something, you know, like, or after I said I was going to record something, they'll an hour later or at the end of that time, I get a text and said, hey, how did the recording go? It's well done.
You know, yeah. I mean, I'm very intrigued by it because, I'm wondering if being accountable to something that isn't human and being reminded by something that isn't human, but is programmed to be supportive, is actually is a breakthrough. Because entrepreneurs just part of the entrepreneurial DNA is being accountable to yourself and and everything like that, but you might not be all that good at it.
Right. That's the truth. That's for me. So it's a real person though that I do talk to.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a real person.
Boy, if you ever thought that technology was going to eliminate people, this is a great example. Not in a million years.
Yeah. So that was the, so I talked
to... Male or female?
Female.
I bet.
Yeah. And so 20, we talked for about 20 minutes at max at the same time. So my
I think this is great.
Monday at 9:20 is my time. And it's, I really, you know, I have been, because I've got so many things going on that what I'm finding, you know, we've talked about this idea that, you know, things get done in real time, right? Not shapeshifter time, like vision and solving a problem and you know, creating plans. Though the things that have to get done have to get done in real time. And so right now I'm not using it to organize all of my things. So I'm not like, I'm not using it to organize every minute of my, my week or whatever. I'm allocating, you know, 4 to 6 hours worth of stuff a week that, like, slots that I'm putting in, you know, 2 or 3 2-hour blocks that I'm setting the intention of what I'm going to do in those and then putting them on the calendar and then being held accountable for getting them done. And
that's
right cadence.
The, one of the things I've noticed about myself is that nothing has a priority unless it has a deadline.
Right.
In my world, I mean, you say, well, you're going to do that, Dan? And I said, have you given me a deadline for it? And they said, no, but you, you know, it's really important. I said, it's not important if it doesn't have a deadline.
Right.
And they said, yeah, but it seems, you know, like, next couple of weeks. I have the foggiest idea what the next couple of weeks means. My brain just does not compute the next couple of weeks.
Right.
July 3rd, my brain computes July 3rd.
Uh-huh. Yeah, isn't that, so that's interesting. You know, like I found just the, and I mean, there's nothing, I could and have done this on my own. Like I've figured out the way to do things, but now I'm actually, there's another person involved in this, that there's a, I found that it's really even, I'm taking this, there's a trickle down now. And I'm into this now where, you know, I've been doing some collaborations with my, I call her my unicorn, Lacey, doing, working on some projects together. And what I've found is the trickle down of that is that I set up to talk with Lacey right after I talk with my, we're going to have a standing, quick conversation on Monday morning to then outline the things that, like, my priorities for what she's working on on my behalf. And that's really, I think that is, I think it's off. Gina Wickman would be proud. Seeing some structure in things here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's really, the thing is that it's probably not, you get a lot done. I mean, my experience of you is that you get a lot done, but it has more to do with the, does it feel good getting the things done? You know, I mean, that's what we did, I just sent off the dedication for the new Hay House book, which is the Cap in the Game. And I said, this the gap in the game isn't to teach people goal setting or goal achievement. It's not to give them ambition, you know, or anything like that. They're born with that. These are people who are born goal setters and goal achievers.
Yes.
And, you know, and they are very successful at solving problems. They're very successful at creating new things. The only problem is that they missed all the classes on any of that making them happy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's funny.
The way in which you get things done is part of, there's the achievement itself, which is a measurable outcome. But there's also the experience that you have in the getting the thing done. And that can be an unhappy experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those, it's one of the, I talk about it with my, our go-go agents, you know, is the blend of daily joy, abundant time, and financial peace. Those three things, those three, you get the right amount of squirts of those three and anything is possible. But you get out of whack, you know, if people are in under financial stress, then their time feels like they need to, you know, they have an unusual sense of a lack of time because they feel the pressure of, I've got to make this money. I'm in this position where I need to, I got to hurry.
I was just, you know, because we're getting to the point where plans are really being made and October is, you know, you know, we're live back to in-person, both backstage, you know, running of the country and also the company and the front stage, the you know, the workshops. And so we were just talking, you know, with I get a lot of talking time with my team. So before every workshop, there's a half hour, you know, you meet with the team a half hour before the workshop starts. But now with Zoom, I say, yeah, but open it up at you know, 10 minutes before the official team starting time. You know, so usually it's about, if it's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, which usually my two dates, 9 in Toronto, 10 in Central Time, then I get on about 20 minutes after the previous hour. So it's 40 minutes. And then we have about a half hour afterwards and we chat about things. And, you know, we were just having a general discussion about what kind of transition is it going to be after a solid year, 16 months, 15 months now of Zoom, strictly Zoom, and what's it going to feel like. And I said, I have to tell you, I've really, really enjoyed a Zoom only year because there's no sense of wasted time getting from one thing to another. I have no sense of wasted time.
Yeah.
And I said, and just imagining going back and you leave the house and then there's, you know, might be 20 minutes, it might be 35 or 40 minutes before we arrive at the office. And then there's 10 minutes to get from the car to getting settled. And I said, I have to tell you, I experienced that all as wasted time.
Yeah. Even though, yeah, I mean, you think about it for years, 25 years, you've had, you haven't driven, you've had, you've been, have the car service for all that to have that time. So you can, I don't know what you do, read,
I chat, depending on the driver, I'll chat. And, you know, sometimes somebody else is with me, so we, you know, we talk, but, you know, we're, it's just that I just experience it as kind of not as enjoyable time.
I get it. Yeah.
I was someplace and I would go on, you know, I'd go on the internet and read articles or I'd work on a project.
Yeah.
Let's say those 40 minutes, I would, I could do a little chapter of a book outline. I could do a chapter of a book outline. And, you know, I'd be in the cafe. I'd get a coffee and, I'd have the music on and everything like that. And so, I'm just going to keep track of like the first month. So if we go back in October, I'm going to keep a journal. It's going to be my transition journal. And I'm going to just notice what I notice about the contrast between what I've experienced since the.
Well, where do you start the clock for Chicago? You know, I mean, that's. You start the clock with the.
The limousine pickup. Well, no, there's packing because you have to pack, you know.
Do you have somebody that packs for you?
Nah, I'm really good. I mean, it takes me.
Okay.
It takes me. I mean, what is there? There's socks. There's underwear. You know.
There's
your toilet kit.
I don't know what's in there, but Courtney does it also.
And there's some. But I have another wardrobe in Chicago.
Yeah.
And everything like that. But Babs, it's a longer thing. So there's about 2 hours. Then we leave 3 hours before we leave the house 3 hours before the flight leaves because I can't stand being rushed. So there's 5 hours before the plane leaves, pulls back and starts the trip. And then, it's an hour flight, but actually it's probably 20 minutes on one end and 20 minutes on another end. So it's almost 2 hours and then you get there. So the whole thing, is we're talking, about 8 or 9 hours and it's kind of meaningless. It's kind of meaningless time.
Did you ever, by the way, Dan, I've forgotten, get to experiment with the airport escort service that I mentioned, because
we had our own personal, our own personal thing for a long time. And, it was just something that we were, it wasn't that big a deal for us.
Right.
Because, one of the red caps, at the thing picks us up and, so it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, if we hadn't had that beforehand, I would definitely have done it.
I didn't know whether you had tried it at another airport because they do like 300 different airports or something. Anyway, all that friction.
The whole thing with that technology is going to put people out of work. Humans are going to find infinite new ways of being useful to each other.
Amen. I agree with you.
Huh? No, they are.
Yes, I agree.
I mean.
And that's part of it is being useful. Like, this Kelsey that I talked to for the accountability, she's one of many of the accountability coaches. But there's an example. She's somewhere in Texas and, is a useful, helpful part of something that you can tap into. I mean, it's just, and this is the thing, you could be anything, you can offer your service as part of anything. This is the great capability. This is the great capability.
Well, the other thing about it, it's a hard model to control because if someone is really good at this, they put in a year with whatever. What's the name of the company again?
The company is called Commit Action.
Commit Action. Okay.
Yeah.
So somebody who's really good at this, they've got I think Factfinder follow through is probably a pretty useful Colby. Okay.
Yes.
And there's just as many of them as there is anything else in the Colby world. So you do it, let's say, and I guess they can do it at their own hours or according to who their
I guess they get a calendar. They've got a calendar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you get really good at this and people say, you know, I really like you. There's nothing to stop that person from just going private with 20 clients or 20 customers, you know, mm-hmm. So it's like Uber, I think that their first 3 years were better than the last 3 years with Uber.
Yes.
In other words, if you take your experience, first of all, they were top-notch drivers. The other thing was they were top-notch cars. And they weren't over expanding as a company. Okay. So anyway, but about 3 years ago, we were going from Park Ridge in our suburb of Chicago to downtown. Yeah. And we were going to be downtown. We sort of clumped a whole bunch of stuff together, mostly medical stuff. And we probably had four different appointments during the day. We were down there for about maybe 6-7 hours, and we had four, and we had lunch, everything else. And so we were talking about it, and I was just going over the schedule, and the driver said, so are you going to, you're probably going to be taking taxi or something for all these. And we said, yes. He says, I'll tell you what. He says, I'll just take you to all your, he says, I'll just give you a price, and I'll just do all of your pickups and deliveries throughout the day, and then I'll bring you back. You coming back home? And we said, yes. And he says, what? You know, he says, you coming back at the end of the afternoon? We said, yes. So it was basically 9 to 5, 8 hours. He says, well, I'll pick you up. I'll do it all. And the interesting thing is, he says, I'll go off Uber while I'm doing that. I'll just give you a special price. And I said, so when you're down there, are you going to be on Uber? He says, yeah. He says, if it's because we compete on the ride, so I can do downtown Chicago, you know, short runs, 15 minutes, half hours between your calls. But he says, I'll get 4 or 5, you know, 5 or 6, you know, out of it. And he was playing the system. And Uber can't really tell because Uber can only, I guess they can, but, you participate in their system to the degree that you want to participate in their system.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a tricky, it is a tricky thing, right? Like that's, because they wouldn't even have met you otherwise, you know? It's interesting, but that's, you know, again, it's the one thing you count on is people doing things in their self-interest.
Yeah.
It's evidence.
Adam Smith.
Yeah.
This is what Adam Smith said.
Yeah.
But he was a really nice guy. You know, I mean, he just did what he said he was going to do and dropped his
right.
So it was, I was thinking, you know, that's pretty good. And it was the pricing mechanism of the marketplace that he was following, that since he wasn't going to be on Uber, he eliminated Uber's take from the total amount of time. He said, well, I'm not going to charge you, you know, the Uber price. I'll just charge you and I'll give you a flat rate for the whole time. I said, that's great,
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing is, this is the, where we're coming into now is the great, you know, if we think about the VCR formula, vision, capabilities, reach, that there's a whole host of capability organizers that are at our disposal now. You know, And these platforms are allowing us as visionaries to tap into any of those capabilities. They're all commoditized, you know, like I look at that. That's why I look at Commit Action is an accountability capability that is on demand, basically, right?
Yep. Yeah, and the other thing, it's taking what is, you know, originated as a form of management. You know, you would only get the benefit of this if you were in somebody else's management system, like you were an employee.
Right.
Okay, and then you would have someone who would be a manager to a certain extent, the
right.
person who's putting you on the schedule and talking to you and reminding you it's a manager, But you're only doing it for your reasons. You're not doing it for anybody else's reasons. The commitment you're making is to yourself, and you're allowing another capability to assist you with fulfilling a purpose that you designed for yourself.
Yeah, for $299 a month.
Yeah, I mean, you have a report to make, Dean Jackson. You have a report to make at the next Free Zone.
Right. I mean, this is. I've really been observing now these whole and an interesting distinction. You know, I think I mentioned. I don't know whether I mentioned to you that Mr. Beast Burger now is up over 600. Locations.
670, I think you said. 670.
Yeah. So they've gone beyond, more than doubled in the first 6 months. And new developments in that whole virtual dining concept world. There's another another player, C3. I forget what the three C's are. Different than your four C's, but they are...
Can't be as good.
But the new term that we've heard now is host kitchens, not ghost kitchens now, because these are host kitchens, meaning they're existing and this is just tapping into the excess capacity. And so that's really been the evolution of it is, you know, you look at it now over the last, it can't be more than 5 or 6 years, although it feels like it's been around for a long time. It feels like it's happened quickly. It's probably 5. I think 2016 when I first started talking about the
ghost
restaurant. Yeah. And you look at that as the evolution of it, where it's gone full circle now to host kitchens is people with capabilities, putting them on the, you know, putting them out there that people can take advantage of them. It's just such so efficient. It's really what's happening, Dan, is all the slack is being removed.
Well, it's kind of like Commit Action is kind of like ghost management,
Yes, that's exactly. Know? Host management, right, exactly.
Ghost or host, whichever word you want to use, but it's only when needed and only for my purposes.
Yes, exactly.
And yet it's personal. You're not talking to a computer.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I mean, periodically I'll hear Siri and Alexa, you know, in the background with somebody's talking, and I said, and now I don't think I'll even have a first date, you know, I just don't feel it's like the sort of the woman's face that appears on the screen at Abundance 360. Samantha, and I call her Creepy Sam, you know.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. You're right.
Yeah, I said, God, really creepy. I said, I just find her really, really creepy, you know.
And her mouth is
you know, it's a bit like Hal, everything. You know, it's a little bit like Hal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I forget what the guy's name, what are you doing? You know, I forget the pilot's name on the spaceship.
Right.
Same. What are you doing? David. Yeah. What do you think you're doing, David? David, you know, yeah. David, I suggest you take a stress pill and let's talk about this. You know, and everything like that, you know, and I just, you know, I was saying, I wrote someone, it was about, you know, the alpha predator who runs one of the social media companies. I won't name him online here because we might get canceled here. But one of the alpha predators who has, you know, created a vast social media. And I said, a lot of people are beginning to understand that this person has the nervous system of the Terminator. You can't reason with it. You can't bargain with it. The only thing, the only way you can ultimately solve the problem is by putting him under the machine pressure, and the light, red lights go out, and the red lights go out. So I said, this is the only solution to this, you know. And but people thought it was really, really funny. And I said, yeah, but there's humans who before would be Genghis Khan or Adolf Hitler or, you know, Ivan the Terrible, or, you know, some super predator, but we found sort of commercial business ways to direct their energy, but they have the same instincts. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, you know, at a certain point, you have to fence them in, you know, you gotta tame these beasts. And, you know, if they start misusing their powers, and it's annoying. But I really like this, and it would be really, really useful for you to give a little, you know, because you'll have about a month more experience with it by the time of year. And, you know, just put together a little, you know, just a little, you know, a little intro on that. That'd be great.
Yeah, happy to do it. You know, speaking about now all the Slack time, you know, I've been doing all the breakthrough blueprints virtually, and I mentioned I've got one starting tomorrow. So this, here we are today. This is already starting. This I'm at, you know, 4 o'clock this afternoon. That starts the clock. I've got to now, you know, drive over to Celebration, and I'll be there till Wednesday. I'm in my courtyard right now, sitting on my white couch to where we've been recording all morning. Yeah. It's just a beautiful morning out here. And so now to be right back here, I'm going completely out of my environment, out of my bubble here, to go over there, you know, from 4 o'clock on today until probably 7 o'clock on Wednesday. You know, that's like a whole, so that's 24, 48, 72, 98 hours, I guess, or something, right? Almost 100 hours of being out of the bubble here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's really, really interesting, and it'll be consciousness raising, because when in our lives have we ever had a contrast where we could compare one type of experience with another type of experience as we have now, before going, but we were abruptly interrupted last year. Here we're preparing for it for a long time. And so I think our consciousness and our insights will be sharper, you know, we'll collect more insights, and, you know, but I got a feeling as, you know, I mean, except for the people who died, which, you know, is another thing, but it's almost like the whole world's been sent to boot camp,
you know.
Yes. And it's, yeah, you're absolutely right.
To have an opportunity to become conscious about certain things, whether they did or not, is another question. But you were given the opportunity to become conscious of comparing one kind of experience with another kind of experience in a way that has never been as clear-cut. And at the same time, it's never as been as a collective whole of humanity has been able to have this experience. Very unusual experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but it's funny. You and I have taken it to ducks like water, as they say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been ready since third grade.
Yeah. So this is awesome. It'll be good to see people in person. I haven't seen any of these people.
See how much poking there is before people.
I wonder about it.
Really feel comfortable.
What that's going to be. Yeah. Are you really there?
One of our team members came to the house last week picking up something, and and I said, "Can I touch you?" And then I poked her arm. I said, "Oh, interesting.
Yeah. That's made squishy. Yes, exactly. That's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Funny. Yeah. It would be funny, like, when you get together at 4 o'clock, just what the buzz is for, like, the first 15 minutes or so, people gather. Yeah. I think it's going to be one of your more fascinating blueprints.
I agree. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there will be more reflecting on the two worlds in this next 3 days than they've ever done at any previous one.
Yeah, I think so. That's going to be a good portion of it. I'm going to actually, my accountability session is tomorrow morning at 9:20, which is, 20 minutes after the events are. So 20 minutes in, I'm actually going to turn my laptop around. I'm going to show them we're going to go through my accountability thing right there. I'll let them just sit in on it as I do it, because it'll be a short 10-minute
meeting. That'd be great if we can get our timing right, if we can get our timing right on the free zone, whether you can do that.
Oh, maybe I can talk to my Kelsey and see if she'd be available to kind of do one.
Yeah, it's on a Tuesday. So
are we on Tuesday? Okay.
But it would be interesting to do it, because that would, that would be massively interesting to people.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, I can screen capture. I'll do the video of my, how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, it's all very exciting. Dan, I'm going to email you at some point here. I want to set up, I really miss our Jacques.
Oh, yeah.
10 conversation and experiences. Yeah. So I'd love to do a Zoom brunch with you one day here.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll email you and we can set that up.
I can do that. Yeah. Next Sunday is Cottage Day, so we won't be doing it next, but it'll be the Sunday
we'll be
after.
That'll be great. We'll be in Palm Beach. So
yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
We'll have been freshly rejuvenated next time we talk.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. Bye.